The following is a special announcement for listeners of the Where is God's Word program with Bruce Musselman. On the morning of May 15th, Brother Bruce Musselman went home to be with the Lord following a short illness. His last new radio program aired just 8 days before his passing. Please join me in praying for the Musselman family and Bruce's friends and colleagues. For now and the next couple of months, we will be airing classic Bruce Musselman programs from our archives. We trust you will be edified and encouraged by these vintage programs. Now, let's join this week's edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantua Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
I'm so glad you tuned in today, and we have another day that we can give thanks to the Lord for all of his many blessings that he has given us. And the Lord says, rejoice in him and rejoice at all times. And so we can rejoice because he has given us another day to live and to praise him and glorify him. We're looking forward to Christmas, and Christmas, we give gifts. Some people don't like it, but I like Christmas because it's a time of joy, and the reason is there's songs being sung about Jesus, and Jesus is the source of joy. And when the shepherds saw the great sight, when they saw the glory of the Lord, they rejoiced, and then they went and saw Jesus, and they rejoiced. So it's the songs about Jesus. I was over at Kmart when they were over there off of Broadway, and I walked in the store, and they were singing some Christmas carols on the radio, and they had the thing turned on, and I said, it sure makes you feel good, to one of the clerks to hear that, and she said, that's right. And it when we think about Jesus, when we talk about him, when we fellowship him, it brings us joy in our heart and in our soul. And we have a destination. You know, Christmas also is a time of giving, and it reminds us of the fact that God gave his best. You know, we need to get this message out. People believe some things about Christianity, but they don't know exactly how to get in contact with God. And the Bible says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, when Jesus came and he died on the cross and he was punished on that cross, his punishment was our punishment. He took our place there. And I even hear some preachers, they don't understand it. But, you know, when we as saved people, if we have accepted Christ, we will stand before God without any record that we have ever sinned. Because Jesus was punished for our sin. And even King David said, your sins and iniquities, God said, I'll remember against you no more. And it said, David said, blessed is the man to whom God does not impute or count iniquity. And all the sin has been counted to him, and his perfect life and righteousness is counted to us when by faith we receive him. So if you believe Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead, and you're willing to repent, and that means to, with God's help, to turn from sin and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, tell him. Say, I accept you as my Lord and my God. Forgive me of my sins and give me eternal life. And just that simple. If you do it in faith and you do it and you mean it, that's simple. You have eternal life. And God has a wonderful future prepared for you. Well, we've come through much of Revelation now, and we're in chapter 21. And in the book of Revelation, it's a summary of the whole Bible. And you see in the Bible, even Moses in chapter 4 of Deuteronomy, he talks about the time of the end, and then he talks about the tribulation, and he uses that word. That's the time of God's wrath and trouble. And also the same thing is talked about in many of the prophets, where they talk about the day of the Lord, the day of God's judgment and wrath on this earth. And then that is followed by the battle of Armageddon when Christ comes back, which will last only a matter of minutes because he will take over. He will destroy the Antichrist, who is the dictator of a world government that they're setting up right now. And at that point, Jesus will rule and reign 1,000 years, but we will be with him as saved people, as born-again, Bible-believing Christians. We will rule and reign with him. And then at the end of the 1,000 years, since people will be born with a sinful nature, there will be a rebellion against God. And they will go to Jerusalem, and of course they will be destroyed by fire. And then God brings in a new heaven and a new earth. And this whole situation of the earth, in a way you look at it, and it's strange with all its sickness and with its trouble, and yet at the same time, good times, and then there's war, and there's death, and there's pain, and there's sorrow. All of these things God has allowed, so as a blind man would feel after God, and it's mentioned in Acts that man would feel after God and then come and find him. And the Bible says man knows about God. He knows his intelligence because he sees it everywhere, but he knows his power when he looks at the stars. And yet God has made himself known through the Bible, which is a history book of God coming and speaking to man. And even in the Tanakh, or the what we call the Old Testament, it mentions the fact that God would show up as a man over and over again and talk to people and reveal himself, show himself to us. And then finally, he came in, he was born in Bethlehem. And the Bible says that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And his goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. He would take on a human body in that town and be born, and then he would live on the earth 33 years, went back to heaven. But this person was God. I was talking to a young lady at Great Northern Mall, and she was selling things in one of those booths, and I asked her where she came from, and she was Jewish, and she said she lived and grew up in Nazareth. And I said, well, do you know that 2,000 years ago, there was a carpenter that was running the universe out of a carpenter shop, and that was Jesus Christ. And so God was on this earth. It says, in Jesus dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know, by faith you receive him, you tell him. And the Bible says, take words, and you can have eternal life. But God has set this whole system up, and you could say yes to Jesus. If you do, you go to heaven and have total joy forever and ever and great blessings. If you reject him, then you must pay for your own sin. And because you rejected him, there's only one other place, and that's hell. And why not go to heaven today? Why not know your sins are forgiven? You know why people don't, why they don't know for sure if they're going to heaven? Because they're counting on their own righteousness. They're counting on their own good works. And they don't know if their good works outweigh their bad. Well, if you sin one time, your bad works outweigh your good. And God expects us to obey his laws. And so all of us have sinned. And where does that put us? Well, that puts us on the way to judgment, God's wrath, and hell. But God has made a plan, and God is a giver. The Bible says that God is love, and love, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so God is a giver, and what he has done is not only has he sent the rain, the sunshine, not only has he given you children and friends, but he has taken care of every single problem that you may have. And the final problem is the problem of sin and his wrath and judgment. And he has taken care of that by Jesus paying for your sin, by Jesus dying for your sin in your place. And so the Bible says he is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You'd have no joy meeting God with your sins on your soul. There'd be no joy there at all, but you're going to have wonderful joy because they've all been paid for 2,000 years ago by Jesus. And God counts the perfect life of Jesus, who did not sin, who never committed one wrong deed. And he counts that to you when you, by faith, trust in him and you receive him. So now we get to Revelation 21, and John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, you know, when we give gifts on Christmas, we don't give used things. We give new things. We like new things. We'd like a new house or a new car. or a new baby or, a new friend. But it's new things that we like and we give. And so God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And it's an earth that the old earth has passed away. And I believe that this earth we live on, the Bible says it's eternal, so it will go on, but it will be totally renovated and it will be a new earth. And I, John, saw the holy city. Now, John was the closest person to Jesus. He was the disciple Jesus loved. And he had moved up to the city of Ephesus, and we find this from church history. And he was up there, and then because of his testimony for Christ, he was banished to an island called Patmos, which you could go and see today. And while he was on this island, God gave him the book of Revelation. Without the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible would not be complete. But all the problems that were introduced by man's sin in Genesis, they're all taken care of, explained, and completed, and the Bible is completed with this wonderful, tremendous book. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Now, the New Jerusalem is the city of God, and later on in these chapters, it tells us something about its dimensions. We know that it was about 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, and 1,500 miles high. And therefore, it has room for all the saved people. And the Bible says that in heaven, there'll be a great multitude of so many people that no human being could even number the number of people that are going to heaven. But none of them are going by their good works. They're all going by the grace of God. And grace means a gift. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And if you receive Jesus and trust in his righteousness to be accepted by God and trust in his death to pay for your sin, you will go to heaven. And it says when a person dies, if they're saved, they don't go to purgatory. You know, the first person who was really promoted that was Pope Gregory I in 596. Now, it was taught before that time, but very few people taught it. Purgatory is an intermediate state in which you burn off your sins. Well, that would be a wonderful thing to think about when somebody died, wouldn't it? Your loved one went to purgatory and burned for an indefinite time. The Bible has nothing to say about purgatory. It does not exist. The Bible says that when you receive Christ, your sins have been paid for. And it says that Jesus himself purged our sins. He took them away. He paid for them. And when you die, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:8, absent from the body, present with the Lord. What a wonderful thing. When I went to my mother's funeral, and I thought, what would it be like when I have to go to that funeral at that time? And there, her body was there. But I was thinking, this is the greatest day of her life because she is now more alive than she's ever been. And it's total joy and total blessing and total happiness and total fulfillment forever and ever. No more pain, no more suffering, no more depression, no more pills, no more disappointment. It is in heaven forever. And God says all the way through the Bible, it says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. You go straight to heaven when you die. And that body may be there, but you're no longer there. And you go to heaven is the city, is the New Jerusalem. And this New Jerusalem, in this chapter, it's decorated. Sometimes we see, at Christmas time, we see that the streets are decorated, the houses are decorated. Well, God is going to decorate the New Jerusalem for us. And we're going to that city. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And that is, when we go to heaven, God is going to be there, and we're going to fellowship with him, and he will dwell with them. You see, that's the whole goal of everything that's going on that God allows to go on the earth, the good times, the bad times, the suffering, so that he will have children. He wants to have a family. He wants you in his family. I don't care what you have done. It doesn't matter as far as salvation is concerned. Today, you can have eternal life and know that you're going to heaven. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote half the New Testament. And He actually tortured Christians and put them to death before he got saved. And he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And if you think you're so bad that you can't make it to heaven, you're wrong, because God saved Paul as an example. God wants you to be part of his family today. And you can be rejoicing at this Christmas that your sins are forgiven and that you're going to be with God. And so he says, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. So we're going to dwell with him in the New Jerusalem. And it says, they shall be his people. That's what it's all about. God wants some people. He wants a family. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And so he says it again, I'll be with them. And when we get saved, we don't see God, but he is with us today. And we experience his presence, and we experience his joy, and we have a taste of what heaven is going to be like. And this program is so that you will believe God's word, and believing it, you will go to heaven when you die. And when I really like to preach a funeral sermon, because when I'm preaching that, there's many people don't know that God offers salvation as a free gift. And I could tell them the person that's body is laying there, they're no longer there. They're with Jesus Christ. And this is a fact. Now it says in heaven, it describes it. We'll take a short break and then we'll continue on.
You're listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please contact us. Our email address is sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. And now let's return to more of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
And you just pray for the program that people will be saved. There's a number of people who told me they got saved through listening to the program. So praise God. And they're going to be our brothers and sisters, and we'll meet them in heaven one day if we don't meet them on this earth. Now, we always give out every week, we give out a paper that shows 100 places where the names of Jesus have been omitted from modern versions of the scripture. And the people put them together, they apparently didn't like Jesus because they kicked him out of their Bibles in 100 places. And we give a paper out and show the references, and so you can check out the Bibles with these references. But at the end of the program, they will announce where you can get these. And sometimes I've been sending them out, but sometimes I get behind with the schedule that I have. And so at the end of the program, if you call or you send it, we can make sure that it's sent out. All right, we'll get back to our text here, and we're Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, and it talks about something about heaven. And it says, in heaven, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And isn't that wonderful? We live in a world of tears, and we live where there's pain and suffering and sorrow and for many, many, many reasons. It seems like someone has said, we're born crying and we die crying. But we're going to a land where there's no more tears. There's no need of tears anymore, because it's total joy. And God shall wipe away all tears. You know, mother knows how to soothe the baby that's crying, but the instinct that God put in the mother and the knowledge God put in the mother to soothe that baby, it comes from God, and God will be there to take away the tears from my eyes. And it says, there shall be no more death. And you think of the horror of death. I think for people that do not know Christ, they look at that loved one that they've been with for all those years, or that baby or that child, and they're gone forever and ever, and they don't know when they'll meet him. And what a horrible thing. But if you're saved, that loved one passes away, and maybe they leave their pain and their suffering behind, and you think now they have a glorious future in heaven with Jesus. They're more alive than ever, and soon we'll meet them. And my brother died just this year, and he said, well, I'll be looking for you soon or something. And so he's up there, and my father and my mother are up there, and I will see them one day. There will be no more death in heaven. You say, what's the proof of that? Well, the proof is simply Jesus Christ, when he was on the earth, he raised people from the dead like Lazarus, and he told the world, he says, when I die, he says, I'll stay in the tomb for 3 days, and his enemies there were there to check it out, and I'm coming out of the tomb the third day. And sure enough, Jesus walked out of that tomb, and it caused such a spiritual explosion that the apostles and people went to the whole world and told that story to the whole world. And since Jesus has risen from the dead and he rose with the supernatural body, yes, the body that he had began when it was put in the tomb, but it was transformed and changed. It'll be a body that never grows old, and there will be no more death, neither sorrow. This world is full of sorrow, and this world is full of loneliness and sorrow and regret, but there'll be no more sorrow in heaven because God will clear our memories of that thing, nor crying. And at Christmas time, there'll be many people that'll be crying. You know, if you could reach out to people, invite them to your house and tell them about the Lord and have fellowship, but this is a world of crying. There will be no more crying. There'll be nothing to cry about. It'll be all joy. Neither shall there be any more pain. So we have all kinds of drugs and so on to keep us from pain, but many people are in great pain. But there will be no more pain in heaven because we'll have a supernatural body. It won't be, the body won't be have blood in it, but it'll be a body of flesh and bones. And we can go anywhere we think we want to go. We can move around like Jesus did. And no more pain. What a wonderful thing that God has given us. And he wants you to go to heaven. Why not today say, Lord Jesus, forgive my sins. I accept you. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. See, God's word is true. It's not just the originals that are true, like so many people teach. What a lie. But it's God's word is true today, is true. And he is faithful. He said he would keep his words. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. We can look in our King James Bible. That is the words of God for us in English. Exactly what God wants us to say. And I have it in black and white that when I die, I'll go to heaven to be with Jesus. Because I've received him. If you receive him today, you have it in black and white that you'll go to heaven and have eternal life and forgiveness of sins. And you have a wonderful Christmas.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mattaway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.